Okay. Civic City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors Business Meeting will come to order. It's January 14, 2025, 5 p.m. We are meeting virtually and in person at the Kiawanda Community Center Faye Jensen Room. I'm going to read the rules of conduct. All cell phones, pagers, and other mobile communication devices must be turned off or silenced for the duration of the meeting. All persons in attendance will remain quiet during the course of the meeting unless called upon to comment. Refrain from any behavior that disturbs, disrupts, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting, to include shouting, booing, kissing, etc. Refrain from creating, provoking, or participating in any type of disturbance involving unwelcome physical contact. Be asked to leave the room to conduct side discussions and refrain from any speech of a political nature. Roll call. Director Price.
Here.
Director Strotska.
Here.
Director Anderson.
Here.
Director Donahue. I am the chair. We will start off with the oath of office for our newest member.
Read that one for me.
Mr. Dan Dole, position number 4.
And you'll have to read it for the record also.
Read it out loud?
Yes.
Are we ready?
Whenever you are.
I, Dan Doyle, in accordance with ORS 198.320, do hereby acknowledge and accept my appointment to the Board of Directors of the Pacific City Joint Water Sewer Authority, Tillamook County, Oregon, for the unexpired term of position number 4 vacated by Cameron Gogas. I do hereby swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States of America and the State of Oregon and the laws and statutes thereof, and I promise to diligently discharge my duties as a member of the Board of Directors of the Pacific City Joint Water Sewer Authority, dated this 14th day of January 2025.
Perfect.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to item 5, which is minutes of the December 10th, 2024 meeting. Are there any additions or corrections or comments? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion.
I move to approve the minutes of the December 10th, 2024 business meeting.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to accept the December 10th, 2024 business meeting minutes. All those who approve, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those who disapprove, say nay. Motion carried unanimously. Item number 6, our financial report. Accounts payable for...
Mr. Chair, we might want to note in the minutes that our newest board member would abstain from approving the meeting minutes from last month since he wasn't present or on the board at the time.
Right. Thank you for that point of order. So accounts payable, we're looking at December 15th and December 31st, 2024. Are there any comments or from any of the board? I had one comment. I saw in accounts payable that there was a parametrics item for a Ridge Road survey. What's going on there?
Yeah, that's a kind of a complicated thing. So the folks up on Ridge Road are attempting once again to form a local improvement district. And as such, if the local improvement district, there's a number of steps they have to go through to get there, including a vote of the people in the neighborhood and so forth. But it seems like this is the most robust and serious effort in that regard that has been undertaken historically. And the county, in order for them to do this, basically if they form a local improvement district, that means that the property owners in the neighborhood have gotten together and decided to foot the bill for all public works infrastructure improvements that would be needed to support that area at build out. As I think most of the board knows, Ridge Road has been a bit of a challenge for the authority for quite some time because we have pressure, very minimal water pressure at the top of that ridge. And in order to, the investment in the public works infrastructure that would be needed would include a new pump station, including pumps capable of providing fire flows. It would require new water mains, new sewer mains, fire hydrants, blow-offs, all of the appurtenances that are not currently up there. In addition, they would also have to pay out of pocket for all the road improvements that are needed up there. The county reached out to us a while back to tell us that the folks that live up there are pursuing the local improvement district again. And it's basically the county's job and our job to provide an approximate cost and a list of things that would be needed in order for the infrastructure, whether it's roads or water and sewer, to get developed and installed. Now, the county is working on providing a punch list and a cost estimate for the road portion. The county asked us to partner with them and come up with a similar thing for the public works infrastructure for water and sewer. That involved some modest expense at our part and some help from our design firm, our consulting engineer, in order to provide the information that we need to provide for that effort. And these dollars that were spent for that was what we invested into that effort. Now, if this falls apart and doesn't move forward, well, we invested a little bit into the effort. But if it does go through, this was money incredibly well spent, because without that local improvement district, all those improvements up there would be on our dime. If this local improvement district goes through, all that infrastructure will be installed on the property owner's dime that live in that part of town.
Where is Ridge Road? Where is Ridge Road?
Just above Cape Kiwanda.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
Cape Kiwanda.
So I didn't know how to answer that question any shorter than I did, Tom, but that's what that went for, was to provide that support for that effort and to partner with the county on putting that package together so that the local improvement district would at least have an idea of what it's going to cost and what it's going to take.
How many houses are up there?
Right now, probably 10.
About four.
There are a lot of empty lots.
There's a lot of empty lots. Four, including one I have abutting Ridge Road, and this is the first I've heard of it. That's one of the reasons I asked.
You're not actually on Ridge Road.
Yeah.
You're just backs up to it.
I have another lot up there.
A separate lot.
Yes.
I see what you're saying.
It's above my house, and it goes right to Ridge Road. Okay.
Yeah, I'm surprised you don't know more about it. But
no, I don't know. It's the first I've heard of it.
But last I heard from the county is that progress has been made on that, and we should know something about that fairly soon. So
I have a question. The amount, Tom, you're referring to is the $1,143.18?
if it's itemized to Ridge Road Survey?
No.
Parametrics? There's
no one says SCADA support.
That's that one would be SCADA. $540
on the first page.
Yeah, it's $1,100 total.
Yeah, it's out of each
one on water
account. Yeah.
Got it. So I guess the question would be, if their district is formulated, the new district is formulated, would this expense then go on with the infrastructure?
Likely not. This is a cost we likely will not recoup either way. On one hand, it seems strange that, you know, a collection of property owners could afford this kind of money, but then they need the county and our help to try to develop the engineering plan, or, you know, the engineering costs and the construction costs for them. But this is something that we will not recoup.
Couldn't we assess the homeowners for this expense?
We could, but I'm not sure, since I know very little about local improvement districts and the procedures to move that to fruition. I'm not sure when or at what point we would have an opportunity to do that.
So where do they get their water and sewer services now?
From us.
From us.
Yep. But the problem is just one more house up there would put us below the minimum pressure for the entire ridge.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask you, would this be these home improvement districts?
Local improvement district.
Is that a small district, district like us?
No. It's just simply for building and planning purposes. It's where the people in a neighborhood.
It's like a neighborhood
group together.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not mistaken, I'm guessing Ridge Road is not a county maintained road.
It's not.
So similar to many local access roads around town. It's if you're going to make that kind of major improvement, that's on the homeowners, because the county doesn't.
Gotcha.
And right
doesn't do road work and that sort of thing.
And one of the reasons that the roads have to be upgraded is right now there is not adequate. The roads are not adequate for first responders, emergency vehicles, that type of thing. So in order for them to achieve this goal, they have to bring all that up to snuff. They have to bring all that up to code.
I don't know where the breaking point would be for how many houses you could approve up there without a local improvement district.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing there is a breaking point someplace.
Yeah.
Because this, as you mentioned earlier, this conversation has been going on for a long, long time.
I think probably that's money well spent, and even if we have to eat that $1,100, that's money well spent.
I agree.
Well, I guess the question is, for $1,100, Parametrics didn't engineer the whole.
Oh, absolutely not.
And that would be on the
no.
Yeah.
What they did do, though, is they put together an estimate on just what the engineering cost would be, and that's upwards of $150,000 just for the engineering costs.
That's kind of what I was figuring.
And that doesn't.
This is an educated start.
Well, comparing, I'm thinking in my mind too, comparing it to Rupel, which was about 50, wasn't it, or more?
I think the engineering on that was about 120.
Oh, but that was actual engineering. This is not.
This
is not actual engineering.
No,
it's a projection.
It's a projection, but I still needed our engineer's input in order to put together even an accurate projection.
Sure. Okay, well, this is, were there any other questions or comments about accounts payable?
I just have one. I know you've told me this before, but I've forgotten. So the late fee for the card services.
Okay. I actually talked to Dan about this morning, too. I have discussed with them whether or not we could get e-statements or something, but it takes so long for the credit card bill to get from them to us, and then we only do accounts payable twice a month. So if it gets there, say, tomorrow, We're not doing it again until the 31st. And so that puts us really close to the due date or after the due date, and I mail it back, and it gets there after the due date, then we get a late fee. Unfortunately.
And you're in conversation with us about this.
Trying.
Process.
they have a very difficult system.
Yeah, I think the limitation is probably our check runs. We could do a single check run, but, you know, I don't know. It's just a timing issue.
Yeah. And
it's just something we have trouble getting around.
And relying on the Postal Service to get it there on time.
That's crazy.
Thank you.
Hearing no other comments, I would entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the accounts payable for 12/15 and 12/31/2024.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve accounts payable for December 15th and December 31st. All those in favor signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion carried.
With a note again that I would abstain.
No, you can vote on this
because this is actually taken today.
All right. All right.
And you have the packet and the information and all that.
All right. Item 6B, our general ledger, fiscal year 24-25. Does anyone have any comments? I would say it looks like we're right on budget, aren't we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay. Hearing no other comments, we'll move on.
The only comment I'll make is that I'm working on wrapping my head around this a little bit, and we'll rely on John and staffing to help.
Okay.
Yes.
Have you had a general understanding of each of our account, our checking accounts or our debt
funds? The funds.
I'm sorry?
The different funds in the budget and when you get time, some quality time with Rochelle.
That's really what I'm needing.
Yes.
I'm a needy person right now.
Well, you're no different than any other family board member. So there's a bit of a learning curve and takes some time to get caught up. Thank you for the questions. Good questions. I emailed you back. I don't know if you saw it. I think the first thing to do would be to bring you in for a tour of our facilities. I think that would answer a lot of your questions. And Luann, maybe you can latch onto that too.
I have never been to Horn Creek.
Well, the more the merrier.
So if
you and Dan could figure out a time sometime in the next couple of few weeks.
Yeah, it might be better if you pick a time.
Okay, I can do that.
Just because I already sense an awareness that you're spinning a lot of plates and busy.
We definitely are. But I can always work in a tour for anybody, especially.
Well, time-wise, what do you think it would take?
2 hours.
Okay. I just shot you a couple of dates. One was Friday from 9 to noon.
Friday?
Mm-hmm.
John's
and
not
the other
Fridays.
Was not good.
Can't be Friday.
Okay.
Any day but Friday.
John doesn't work Friday.
So it would possibly Monday next week.
That's a holiday.
It is a holiday, isn't it?
That's Martin Luther King Day.
Maybe you should go on a date.
Yeah, I think it would be better if you probably picked a date.
Well, why don't I do it? Because you are genuinely interested.
Yes.
I'll try to find a time that works for everybody. I mean, people that have already seen it are welcome to join again. I know, Kathy, we gave you a tour. And you've had at least one tour. So.
I've seen the plant, but I haven't seen any of the wells or Horn Creek facility.
Well, Horn Creek is definitely worth seeing. The wells are interesting, but much less so. But we'll definitely find a way to get that in. But I think that'll be an excellent opportunity for you guys to get a lot of questions answered, gain a lot of familiarity, have an understanding, a better understanding of what we do every single day, I think it's invaluable. So I think that's the way to start.
I didn't mean it to do
yeah,
that.
I would guess if I'm going to be along, it'll be 3 hours and not 2 hours.
all the time you need. Well, that's just fine. But I'll reach out with a couple of suggestions.
Okay, I'm leaving town on the 26th of January for okay. about 26
is a no-go.
Okay, okay. So, well, we might be able to squeeze something okay. in before then.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just one more note, in the event that there are three board members participating in that event,
yes. we can't.
You can't discuss anything that that might relate to a decision mm-hmm. or right. anything board action right. would be required for. So
because we're a quorum.
If Tom only wants to see Horn Creek, maybe he could do that separately, and then the two of you could do the whole shebang together.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, but that's a very good point. Three board members together, even for a tour, you still got to be careful what you talk
about.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Can you give me an example?
Yeah, just budget, anything related to board business or anything that's been discussed at a board meeting or might be discussed at a future board meeting.
Yeah, related to a possible suggestion, like how come we don't double the size of this fence and three people are in the room and everybody says, yeah, good idea. That's board business discussed outside of a board meeting. That's a silly example.
Some clause.
Well, it's what do they call that? And the private or the public meeting law?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's a law.
Falls out of public meeting law.
Yeah. This will all be old hat to you.
Okay. Where were we? We
manager's report.
Did we do the fiscal year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we did. Okay. Item 7, manager's report.
Thank you, Tom. I really don't have much to share with you all this month. Wanted to point out our current system development charges for the fiscal year 24-25. We are now heading into the second half of this fiscal year, and we are quite behind on our projections for SDCs. We've been using 10 of each as our budgetary estimates for the last couple of few years, and we've come real close.
We either hit it or exceed it.
This year, again, we projected 10, but so far, halfway through the year, we've only got 3 for water and 2 for sewer.
Yeah, I wonder now that Tillamook County has lifted that
the vacation rental thing,
that things aren't going to pick up considerably. I know that, I heard anyway, that all of a sudden houses are getting offers that hadn't had offers for a long time. So, because the new Tillamook County, they're changing that short-term rental.
People have been sitting on purchasing property, building, whatever.
Right.
Just waiting for that to change. And in my neighborhood, a house that's been there for a year had two offers the day it was announced.
So really? I'm thinking maybe this might pick up with the new building also.
With the recent decision that Tim highlighted in the last edition of the paper to remove the limits west of the river.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so that would be new construction.
Existing houses are new construction.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
but I think it might affect the new construction also.
Well, people buy lots and build homes, maybe.
Yeah,
but they want to rent out.
And
they want to rent out.
Yeah. So maybe,
it is what it is. Right?
Yeah. But maybe we'll see a turnaround in that. It sounds promising. But just wanted to point out to the board that we are behind on that projection. So we'll continue to watch that. Last several months, our unaccounted for water has. Do I have somebody?
I'm coming on.
Tom's in the lobby.
Oh, Tom's in the lobby. Yeah, okay, Tom, I'll let you.
Gee, you're such a swell guy.
For the last several months, our unaccounted for water numbers have been elevated. We aren't seeing a little feedback, maybe.
I'm working on it.
We aren't seeing evidence with our production, water production, or our reservoir fill cycles. We aren't seeing evidence of any significant leak. It doesn't mean we don't have one. It's just usually we see telltale signs. I can only attribute this to the fact that we are still flushing mains. This process has taken a while this year, just trying to manage workloads and scheduling. Usually our main flushing we can get done in 4 to 6 weeks. This year it's been extended just because of issues that have come up and so forth. And flushing water mains, you just have to give it your best guess on how much water is right. being pulled out of the pipes and put on the ground. And so that is always going to add errors into these calculations, always going to add uncertainty. And for the second month in a row, we've had several significant water leaks as well. And that is also something that is very difficult to estimate. I think those of you that have seen the unaccounted for water sheets month to month, I think that you can see that we are having to estimate a lot of water use because of the leaks and the flushing. The section at the bottom of that calculation sheet, and that's why I put in big letters that these numbers are estimated. And until we can get past our flushing, and hopefully have a relatively clean month in terms of water breaks, it's going to be hard to get a something that is reliable in terms of calculating these unaccounted for water totals. And so I just want to preface these numbers that I've been reporting for the last several months, just make sure the board is aware that this is not a science, it's more of an art, and we're doing our best to estimate that, but it is just strictly an estimation, and it's hard to rely on these numbers until we can get the flushing behind us and get that out of the way as a variable. But we will be done with our flushing for the year in January. We'll get that done. Hopefully get through a relatively quiet month with small or few water leaks, if at all. And then we can get back into a number that I feel I can hang my hat on. For a long time, we were in the 7 or 8% range. And then suddenly, several months ago, we're into the 20% range. But I don't think it's real. I think it's just the limitations of our ability to estimate how much water we're flushing or how much water is being lost to water leaks. And what I don't want to do with this is I don't want to massage the numbers to give the number I want. So what we do is we put forth our estimate and we stick to it regardless of what the total says. So this isn't a matter of changing numbers to get something you're comfortable with. And so I just wanted to throw that out there. That's not part of this game, but it does make this effort a lot more complicated when you've got these activities going on during the month. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
All in all, it beats 2022 by
yes,
a mile.
Yes, we are. I'm very confident that we are in a much better place than we were a couple years ago, and we intend to stay there. So, and so I think in a month or two we'll have some good numbers that we can really put more reliance on.
I have a question, John, pertaining to leaks. How the district, the authority identifies leaks, and whether or not the public can see something, say something.
Well, most of
they can be made aware of, hey, if you see any evidence of leaks, and they would probably need to know what that looks like.
Well, the truth is probably 70% of our leaks are reported from customers or people within the community. You know, somebody lives on the street, suddenly there's a bunch of water running down their road. They're really good about speaking up about that, and that is how we find the lion's share of leaks.
Well, an example for me would be Fisher Road, Lower Fisher Road, where water is constantly running down that road, and you just make an assumption that it's runoff.
Yeah, well, we have looked at that numerous times, and it does appear to be just groundwater runoff. One of the things to be aware of is our closest water main up that hill is a long ways up that hill, quite a ways up. And I think that, you know, through people like our operations supervisor, who has worked at the city for a long time, this has been going on for a long time. So far we have not been able to attribute it to any type of water leak. It appears to be a natural seep. Now, it's times like this that I wish we fluoridated our drinking water, because I could take sample that water. Fluoride doesn't dissipate the way chlorine does. If you fluoridate your drinking water, you can take a sample and measure the fluoride, and you know if it's drinking water or if it's a natural water flow. We don't have that luxury here, and I'm certainly not advocating fluoridating our drinking water. That would be helpful if we had done that. But so far we're quite convinced that that is not a water leak.
It's just runoff or a spring possibly that's there.
A seep, something of that nature. I know exactly the water you're talking about. I know exactly where it comes out of that hillside, because I've gone up there and walked that road and looked at it myself numerous times. And our most tenured operators also believe that it is just natural water at that one site. But that's the type of thing that we do want people to report, because that's a lot of times things like that do turn into legitimate water leaks. I mean, the source is a legitimate water leak. Most of them are reported by the community.
Good example. At my property on Cape Kiwanda Drive, one staff came by and knocked on the door here a year or so ago and said we were noticing a relay kit or a pump kicking in at the 100K reservoir, which is up above my house. And I just walking down the street and I see this, and here's my meter and a big pool of water. So that's one where staff actually found it using common sense. They knew it. They were checking on that, and they said, we must have a leak here somewhere close. And there's not that many homes that actually are covered by that one particular reservoir. So it was an easy find. And a couple $1,000s later, I fixed it. But that's a good example of staff actually finding something simple they see.
And the only other thing I might want to add, and as part of the manager's report, although I haven't written it down, we place the emergency supply shed at the 100K. I think a lot of people here have read the article in the PC Sun. It was a very good article. So it hasn't been stocked yet, but it is there. Got some fence work to do, but that'll happen very soon. But I'm pleased that the actual shed is in place and we've got it where we want it. And I think it's going to work beautifully.
Great.
Remind me where that was again.
So Cape Kawanda Drive.
Top
okay.
of the hill.
Yeah. All right.
The water tank.
So, not to get too far down a rabbit hole, there was discussion with Dave Sears about potentially putting one of those up at the water tank on Elderberry and...
That's our other reservoir site. We're much more space limited
yes.
there. One thing to keep in mind is we've still got two generator enclosures that are going to go at these two reservoir sites that aren't even there yet. And the 300K is exceptionally limited space-wise. We're going to review that as another possibility, but I want to wait until our generator shack is in place so that I can truly assess where it might be able to go or how much room we might be able to have. Understanding we still have to be able to back a pickup truck in there to do pump maintenance and other things as well. So we will take a closer look at that. But not until the generator enclosure at that site is in place. And then we'll see what we might be able to do as a possible second site for another supply shed. That's a high area of town. It would make sense to have one there, just like it makes sense to have the one over at our other reservoir. But we've got to have the room for it, and I'm not convinced we do.
It was in the original discussions that we had with Dave and the group. So
yeah, I guess I'll just say that PC Heights Neighborhood Association put out a query to members about any property that they might be aware of or be willing to put a shed on, and we got zero response.
Okay.
Oh. So it might be worth visiting for us again to, in case it doesn't work out.
Yeah, we intend to circle back to it. Hopefully we can make it work, but we just don't know that yet. And so that was all for the manager's report, Tom. Thank you.
Okay. There was the surplus. That's a different topic.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Okay, we'll move on to unfinished business. Board member trainings and reimbursements. There was some extra items in our pack concerning those.
Yeah, so we talked a little bit at the last board meeting about board member trainings and travel reimbursements. As I said, we've got some pretty detailed guidelines for that type of thing for employees, but we did not for board members. Last month, I believe I was directed to review the employee handbook and share what we are currently doing for the employees as a possible solution or a possible set of guidelines to also adopt for board members. And what we've got here is what I included in the board packet was guidelines for the main expenses when you travel. Meals, lodging, and mileage. And the mileage rates that we have adopted for the employees are from the Internal Revenue Service. They're their standard mileage rates. You can see that for the year 2025, for business use, that would be 70 cents per mile, which is what we currently compensate our staff for. Understanding the board's a little different in that a lot of our the trainings that our staff goes to, they take an authority vehicle.
Right.
That's not really going to be a viable option for board members. So that's where the mileage, I think, would be applied more often than it does typically for our staff. Looking at the other two standards, these are both from the General Services Administration. And I apologize, I thought I had these orientated right, at least on this, I'm reading it sideways. But we've got a guideline for meals and incidental expenses that identifies the different types of meals, the rates. Now, on these GSA guidelines, they're a little odd in that they list certain counties and certain cities, but then they say, if you're not one of these, then use the standard rate. So, and these would be destination, not departure sites, right? So if a board member wanted to go to a training in Lincoln City, well, we would use the Lincoln City row on that guidance to determine a per diem for meals. And that is something that we are currently using for our staff as well. And then the third one, interestingly enough, the one for lodging is not adopted in our employee handbook by name, the way the mileage and the meals are. And I was a little puzzled by that, but I think it might be just the challenge of finding lodging in some of these places at certain times of the year that actually adhere to some of these numbers. But I'm debating about whether we shouldn't incorporate this. I mean, the problem is if the only hotel we found was more expensive than this, we wouldn't necessarily expect the employee to foot that additional bill. But I will say that the numbers you see here, and again, they broke down some cities and counties and then a standard rate, you will notice that they vary by month, as you would expect hotel rates to do, right? Especially on the coast. So I guess my thought is twofold. One, is this something that at least as a baseline that we should adopt in our employee handbook for our staff? And two, is this something that we should also adopt as a guideline for lodging reimbursements for board members if they have to travel for training? Maybe it's a two-day class and they have to stay the night.
I think that it's good to adopt it. I would like to see a caveat added to it, though, that if they went to a training, let's say in Bend, and there's no hotels available that fit this, that we would pick up the difference for them, because I don't think it's reasonable to ask them to stay in a dive just to meet the financial guidelines.
I agree. It's fairly common. This happened once to Rochelle as I was talking to her about it as the last SVO meeting. Well, two times ago, I went to one in Seaside and I ordered room it was like 3 weeks before the event, and there was only one room left, and it was like $300. There was a suite, and it was a very expensive one, and that's in a big convention like that. Seaside is a big town, so. But, you know, there were like almost 900 people going to this event. So rooms were at a premium. I'm lucky I looked at it. That was close, and that happened to be in Seaside. So that's not uncommon. If some of the SDO has over 500 water utilities, or no, more than that. There's actually several thousand small districts.
Well, we could, you know, I mean, it's like Kathy was saying, if we approved or added this in, it would be with the caveat that if you can't, you know,
You just don't know, right?
Exception subject to approval by the authority manager.
And I see Seaside does have theirs that go up a little bit in June or July and August, mm-hmm. but they're the only ones on this farm.
You notice Tillamook's not in that list.
Well,
yeah, neither is Marion County.
Yeah, Marion County. Yeah,
that's surprising, too, especially during legislative session, try to find a room.
It is. And I think in general, whether it's us managing travel for the staff or whether it's us assisting the board with travel,
right.
I mean, everybody should have a couple of common goals. One, we need to be money conscious.
Right.
And two, you know, nobody expects anybody to stay in a dive, but we also don't expect the Ritz either.
Right.
Right? So, the intent is that you can find reasonable lodgings within close proximity to your training site mm-hmm. or whatever.
Right.
And I think that we would all keep that in mind. But because there is that variable, you don't know if there's a convention in town. Mm-hmm. You don't know if hotels are all booked up. You know, one thing that I think that is important, though, to help keep costs down is whether it's the staff or the board, don't decide you want to go on the training day after tomorrow. Oh. Decide you want to go on that training a month or 6 weeks from now. Book it then so that you can help to keep the cost down. So, you know, these are all, you know, we have, you know, obviously we're all stewards of these dollars and we mm-hmm. have to be mindful of all that. And obviously we would, but
right.
I think it's worth stating, though. You know.
Would you be willing, or staff be willing, to put together a resolution that would be probably an addendum to duties and responsibilities?
Well, yeah, my goal was to introduce these tables to the board, to, you know, two of which we're actively using for the staff. You know, wanted to introduce these tables to the board to get this feedback, and then I think in a single page we could probably write up a quick policy about board member trainings and travel reimbursements.
Yes. And I think that's an excellent idea.
Yeah.
And okay. I mean, we could basically follow these same guidelines as the staff.
Exactly.
And they change every
year. You don't need to recreate the wheel.
Yeah.
Can I add one?
Sure.
So for the staff, the plan that we have is, I want to go on this training. I work with them to fill out the document that they need. John has to approve it ahead of time. If he doesn't approve it, then it's a no-go. Would you add into your resolution that the board needs to approve it before another board member can go on a training, or would it just that they get to go?
I think it ought to be that they just get to go. Okay, I think we ought to be able to trust each other enough that you know. That
we we'd have to do that.
Yeah,
at a meeting we only meet once a month.
Right.
Yeah, and I think. We're if a board member wants to go, you wouldn't have to necessarily ask for approval from the other board members. I agree.
Yeah, just out of curiosity, what there's probably a general ledger line for training and whatnot, employee and board.
Yeah.
Yes.
Two separate ones, yeah.
And without looking, those, do they come out? Like the budget, that allotted fund used up? What are we talking about in an annual? We're talking about $10,000 to travel for board members and hotels?
I'd have to look at one, but in my time here, no. We budget, but it doesn't get used up. A lot of times, like this last, the year prior to this one, we had several staff members who had planned to up their certifications. So we knew we were going to need extra money for classes, we were going to need extra money for travel, we were going to need extra money for their testing. So we budgeted a little bit of extra money, and they all did it, but there was still a little bit of a buffer, we didn't use it all up. The board, we throw money in there, but a lot of times the board isn't available to go on a lot of these trainings, or they're not interesting or pertain to anything you guys care about. There are some specific SDAO ones out there that are for board training purposes, but a lot of times it doesn't work with everyone's schedule, and there's maybe one in Salem, maybe one in Tillamook, and the rest are Pendleton and Redmond and Coos Bay. Kind of a longer drive than anybody wants to make.
SDAO also has, there's
like fire departments. There are other, you know, small districts, recreational districts. Water districts are a big part of SDAO because of land use and water interest in Eastern Oregon, especially where water's scarce. So there's a lot of things like that. The training part, I think she just found some there in the ledger.
So director fees and training. So it's budgeted $3,000, and year to date we still have $2,747 left.
And that's $3,000 per fund. So $6,000 total.
Oh yes.
Water.
One for water
and sewer.
Yes. So yeah, $6,000.
We can take more advantage of it as board members, but there's plenty of money in there.
And perhaps maybe the only thing I'd like to confirm with the board that would help me to maybe pen a draft of this additional resolution. You know, our staff goes to trainings that are applicable for their job. They go to trainings that enable them to maintain their certifications and other things. I think it would be assumed that any trainings that the board would want to go on would be directly applicable to their duties as a board member. Right. Is that a safe assumption?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Every SDAO meeting has some water and some sanitary deals, every one of them. But other than that, I don't think there's many trainings that we might want to go to other than SDAO.
Well, I guess the question would be, John, you know the board members, and you would know, hey, you know, I think you would benefit from going to this and perhaps put it out.
Well, let me ask you, Rochelle, you chime in too, because we, you know, I get mailings from SDAO all the time.
Even in the book that I gave everybody, there is a section in there that goes to the regional trainings that they're doing this coming year.
Okay.
Because a lot of times they're spread out.
You don't get emails from them all the time.
Sometimes they're water or sewer related. Sometimes they're general board responsibility kind of related, like public meeting law trainings and things like that apply to not just water, sewer, but fire districts and all the other small districts.
But you know, preferably, you know, something that leans toward the board member's perspective. I mean, Dan, you might be interested in how we test backflow preventers, but that doesn't mean we want to pay to send you to a backflow tester class. But there are plenty of training opportunities out there, and correct me if I'm wrong, isn't there actually a program that you take these trainings?
Well, it's not a new board training.
But
Tom is part of the Board Leadership Academy.
Oh, yeah, it's that Board Leadership Academy was what I was trying to put in my head. So, you know, there are programs like this that encompass a variety of trainings.
Why don't you resend that information to all of us?
Yeah.
So, just so I understand everything, several months ago, I think Tom went, I went, maybe Ann, to some meeting in Tillamook at the courthouse where they were talking about water districts and stuff.
Oh, I remember that. The
rates and stuff. Does that count as a training?
Well, I think for something like that, you should at least be able to turn in your mileage.
Your mileage,
It's only a year ago.
Yeah. But you know, that's an example of you're going to represent the utility as a board member. It's a community.
And to enhance your own knowledge about what you're governing.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that would apply. It certainly apply. You know, and another consideration is, too, the distance traveled should have a bearing on whether lodging is necessary or not.
Right.
You know what I mean?
If I go to Tillamook, I can't spend the night?
That's exactly what I'm telling you. So,
and then go out to eat at a nice restaurant, have breakfast in the morning?
Yep. But this is all, it sounds like common sense, but, it's for a policy document, I would probably just say, it's just generally understood that travel within 30 miles would not normally require logic. You know, something along those lines. Does that seem reasonable to just okay? Yeah. Well, that really helps me. So I think the next meeting I'll have a draft for you guys to review, and we can add another page or two to what I'm actually more and more calling the board member handbook.
It's moving in that direction. And that's a good thing.
I think that's a great thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got an employee handbook. I think it'd be valuable to have a board member. A new guy, I just sent you what we had.
I looked at 33 pages.
Did you? Wow, you turned that around.
I didn't absorb it all. But.
but, you know, I mean, you know, I think this is all valuable stuff, especially for new board members. It should be required reading. And that's kind of what I think, unintentionally, that we're heading toward here. Which you're right, Ann. I think it's a good thing. So.
Okay. So maybe next month you'll have some for us to.
I'll have a draft for you guys to review.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Next item. It's item 8B, surplus fuel tank status.
Yes, the time frame, our advertised time frame for bidding on our used fuel tanks has expired without a single bid. So there's a couple of things we're thinking about. Now, unlike a vehicle that we can just drive up on the road and where people can actually see it every time they drive by, put a big sign on it, yarding these tanks up onto that road was something that we weren't really looking forward to doing, but it might be necessary to actually get rid of these things.
And now, if they get stolen, so be it.
Tom, you suggested that there's somebody publishes like a classifieds that are aimed at the farming community?
Yeah, it's called
Capital Press.
That's usually
newspaper.
Strictly about ag.
Yep.
So the next question on that, how much money do you guys want to throw into advertising or something that has little value?
Not too much.
We've already put about $100 into it.
It's going to cost more to actually dispose of it.
I was going to ask that question too.
Well, since these were fuel tanks and there is undoubtedly residual fuel in those tanks, I think that there are folks out there that would consider that to be hazardous waste at this point in time.
So once every couple months, they have a hazardous waste collection at the transfer station in Tillamook. Mm-hmm. They don't ever do it here. Mm-hmm. Is that something that would qualify for it or no?
You're talking about the tanks and whatever residual contents are in there?
You can contact Solid Waste Department, the county Solid Waste, and ask that question.
Yeah.
If you don't know already.
And you know, I'm not really sure what the rules would be. I mean, you know, we know that we have to declare stuff like this surplus equipment. We know we have to put it out for a silent bid. But beyond that, I'm not sure what the rules allow us to do as a plan B.
I don't know. I think we can dispose of it responsibly.
Okay.
If it doesn't sell.
Okay. I guess, if you did due diligence in putting an ad out.
Yeah, I was going to say back to
the public notice.
Yep.
And they no sale.
And maybe due diligence might be another round of that, or maybe an ad.
Where was it advertised?
Press, but who knows?
It was advertised in the Headlight Herald, and there was ads placed at each feed store in town and the Tillamook co-op.
So that covers the agricultural community.
No, not the sun. Have you ever posted anything in the Capital Press? Do you know if it's expensive? Okay. So I think that's probably why you asked the question.
We posted a job advertisement when we were looking for one of our higher up positions, and it was astronomical.
Okay.
About the creamery. Just letting somebody at the creamery officer know that something's available, that would shotgun out to the different dairies.
Well, that's an idea. They certainly work with a lot of the local farmers. You know, I think these tanks would be ideal for a farm.
Can you tell me they're 250 each?
I think they're 500 gallons each.
500 each, and are they double wall, single wall?
I do not believe these would be double walls.
I think so. We'll call them single wall. Containment basin around them.
No, they're steel tanks. They're elevated because they have no pumps.
You had pictures in one of the meetings, correct?
I do.
Let me look back at that.
Yeah.
And then I'll contact one of the dairymen who's part of the creamery and just see what he thinks.
Yeah, that would be great. And on a side note, we all also have a wood fabricated stairs and platform to allow us to get to the top of the tanks for refueling that we would love to give away with the tanks too, but we can take that apart and reutilize that wood. These tanks have no future use. Yes.
The pictures were on November's minutes?
Yeah. I believe that's correct. Yeah. I mean, we don't mind waiting a couple more months and putting it through one more round. But there,
And then meanwhile, maybe find out about the hazardous waste disposal option too, because if we don't end up doing that with this, we might have a future need for something like that.
Yeah, too. Undoubtedly we will. So it sounds like that we'll make, we'll never recoup our money, but we'll make the relatively modest investment into trying to responsibly get rid of these with one more bid process, one more round of how long do we have it open before? 2 months?
2 months.
Maybe one more round of 2 months, and in the meantime we can research options. Mm-hmm. And if nobody bids on them after this next 2 month period, we pursue those additional options.
And if any of us does come in contact with someone who's interested or has questions, we should advise them to just call the office.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
What about my question about liabilities in selling a tank, and you set it next to a tributary and it develops a leak? Maybe it didn't leak when we had it, but somebody happened to bump it with a forklift when they moved it.
Well,
and now they say it's...
Some wording within the ad that says that we no longer take responsibility for this after you purchase it.
And it's purchased as is.
Yeah.
As is. I was going to verify with you that we had just some small disclaimer. Yes.
Yeah. It's a very legal, wordy claimer.
Okay. Yeah. So we do have that in place. And, this is the type of situation where, yes, you probably want to make sure you check that box. There might be other things that we may put up for silent bid where there isn't that potential, you know what I mean? But it is worth considering. So.
All right.
All right.
Let's move on to new business. We don't really have
it. I don't have any new business. I'm working on a couple of things, but I just don't have them ready yet. I'm mainly resolution related, employee handbook related, policy related.
Item 10, guest questions and comments. Tim, do you have a comment? Or
John, do you want me to talk about that leak credit thing?
Yeah.
Okay. So, many moons ago, you guys approved a resolution for leak credits that we had changed from the previous one that had no limit. Now we've got a limit.
For what kind of credits?
A leak credit. If you have a water leak that is...
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't know how you say not natural.
Okay.
Just a crazy leak.
Crazy.
So we had a customer who had a water leak. I informed them of the water leak. We turned off their water. It is a vacation rental home. So they, along with getting charged for water consumption that's over the 399 cubic feet, they also get charged for sewer consumption, because they're considered a business. Mm-hmm. The resolution does not state anything about sewer consumption, so you do not get credit for that. She was unhappy with that answer. She did get the leak credit. You get 50% of whatever your consumption was. She got the leak credit. That was great. After calculating out what the sewer credit would be if we did throw that into a resolution later on, or amended a resolution, she would have received an additional $86, which on a $500 bill might be a big deal, but it's also not catastrophic even. And there's the reason we didn't add the sewer, I believe, is what's to say the water didn't go down the sewer? Just because we found a water leak on that day, what about the other 30 days of the month? Maybe you were taking 6 showers a day or washing your boat. Or
did you notice something. Any, did it look like it spiked? I noticed you.
For this particular customer?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, we just read the meters.
But it was when we read the meter, we noticed that she had a higher reading, sent somebody out there. They said, yep, water leaks right here. I can
How could you determine the sewer?
You can't, and that's the problem.
Hand in hand.
The assumption is they go hand in hand, but you can't really determine what goes down the sewer.
Well, from the previous month, let's say, mm-hmm. did you notice a spike in the sewer consumption?
There would be, yes.
But there is no measurement.
There is
no measurement.
There's no measurement of sewer consumption.
There's not a meter.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
It's just water out, sewer in.
That's why the two have tracked together.
For residential. Yeah. For any commercial property, we base it on whatever your meter reading is. For your water meter.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you go through 399 cubic feet of water, the assumption is 399 cubic feet of water went down your sewer as well.
I see.
In many ways, that's the way it has to be, because we can't determine what portion of water used went down the sewer or which was used to wash a car and just went on the ground. That's fundamentally the problem. And I think the one of the main reasons that we wanted to make the board aware of this is this person has insinuated they might attend a board meeting or contact a board member to talk about this. So I think this is just an awareness thing.
Well, and I have to interject, as I do sometimes, that this is dangerously close to what should be an agenda item for a discussion, and it is not on the agenda. So I think we need
just
to
awareness.
Just sure. make us aware and leave it at that.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, the only other thing, okay, let's see, chair director comments. Directors have anything that's on your mind?
I just had a question. We had the special meeting last week. Are there minutes that we need to approve from that?
There is, and Kathy brought this up too. It was rather late. In general, there's no hard and fast rule about this, but this is something, one of the first insights that Carolyn gave me about our board meetings is, in general, they are meant to talk about issues, events, and news of the previous calendar month.
Right.
The special meeting didn't occur in December, it occurred on January 6th. So our intent was to put those meeting minutes on next month's, because the meeting in February would talk about issues in January. Okay. Now, I know there was some concern about swearing in somebody where he was appointed at that special meeting, and therefore to document, I guess, the legitimacy of the swearing in, it's good to have the documentation that he was appointed. I will say that the recording is available. It certainly did occur. And
the recording is publicly available.
And the recording is publicly available.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure we were okay.
Yeah.
But that should be then in the February.
Well, that's the way we would normally operate. I do also understand the point that the swearing in of a new board member and the appointment of a new board member should somehow be connected with documentation in a chronological order. We didn't provide those minutes this time, simply
because it's January.
And It would have been a push to turn those minutes around in time for a meeting, based off of when somebody first expressed concern about this.
So we're going to see them next month?
They for sure now. But.
Okay. So it's fine for this month. I'm not concerned about it, but I think in the future we need to be cognizant of that, especially if several people should apply for a position and there's any kind of controversy or something about who gets selected, and then we swear somebody in and we don't have that documented in our minutes that we haven't approved.
Well, yeah, no, and I get it. It is documented. It will be documented on minutes. It's just not documented that way yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're saying swearing in should have happened next month rather than...
No, I'm saying I would have been more comfortable if we had had minutes of the special meeting, we approve those minutes, and then swore you in.
I see.
Oh.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Also changing the order, not just...
Changing the order of the agenda, then.
It would have, yeah.
See your point. Okay.
Yeah, I think we're okay, but I agree with Kathy. I think we need to make it...
If it comes up again, we'll all be aware, and we can make an adjustment as necessary.
Yeah. Okay, the only comments I had was the status of our new truck and the generator shacks.
Yeah, we were told last time we checked, and I made it a point to say, we need to know. We need to pin you down. Don't give me a what you think. Call and tell me what's going on. And we are supposed to get that vehicle in February. That's what I found out when I called. I think it's probably been November last time I called. It's amazing how long it takes to get a new vehicle, a new boat, a new RV, a new anything these days. This was started out, we purchased the chassis, which had a significant amount of lead time just to get the chassis. Then the chassis had to be transported somewhere in a different part of the country to have NAPID, which is a company that takes chassis and turns them into work trucks with utility boxes and cranes and welders and all this type of thing. So it took a while to get the chassis, certainly taken a while for us to get into the queue at the company that makes those transitions or transitions those vehicles fully into work trucks. And February was the day I was told that we would, or the month I was told that we would receive that. And I'm certainly hopeful we will, because it's been now a year since it's been ordered. And, it's just a very slow process anymore. I don't know, ever since COVID, everything just takes forever. But that's where we're at. Your other question, Tom?
The generator shacks.
Yes, the generator shacks are nearing the final design. We aren't having these over-engineered because they don't need to be, but we're looking at four structures. Those structures have to have exhausts and louvers for the generators for the generators to run and to convey the exhaust outside of the building. They need to have transfer switches that will allow us to transfer from utility power to generator power. The 100K needs an auto transfer switch, not a manual transfer, because we lose power up there. Our customers are immediately impacted because of the pressure issues we talked about sooner or earlier. Those are slated to be constructed this late spring, early summer. As I mentioned, we did get approval from State Parks to put one out the Spitwells. And this process is taken a long time too, but the work that Parametrics has done to this is almost done. Once that is done, we need to select a contractor. This will not rise to the dollar amount that would require a formal bid process. But what it will do is it'll require board approval, and it'll require the collection of three quotes, as is always the case when it exceeds $25,000. And they'll, each site will definitely, just one site will cost more than that, but these will not rise to the cost level that a formal bid process is needed. We just have to select a contractor. We just have to award the job and then have them built. And I think once the building starts, it should go pretty quick. These are not complicated structures, but one reason we had to pull in our engineering firm is even a structure like this, if it is part of a public works infrastructure, of which these will be generators that will, emergency generators for our well sites, they have to be built to a class 5 standard, which means this isn't just some rickety old shack. This has to meet certain building codes. And I needed assistance from our engineers to tell me what those codes are and to provide a basic design for that, not just structurally, but electrically and mechanically as well. So as soon as we get those finalized, should be seeing those within the next 6 weeks. That's when we will begin to find the contractor, with the intent that all four of these will be built by the end of this summer.
All right. Perfect. Good news. All right. No other comments by the board?
I just want to welcome Dan to the board. It's nice to have a full board again.
Yes,
indeed. Okay, it is 6:16. Meeting is adjourned.